Welcome back to week three of Wish You Were Here. And I know that's kind of a crazy title, but I love it because my heart for you as a pastor is to see you at the place that God has for you. And I want you to know His promises, which is why I'm always going to push you back into Scripture, back into the Bible, because I want you to know God's promises. I want you to embrace God's promises and recognize that it's contingent on you. Like, God's already made the promises. You can walk in them, but you have to be willing to do so. And when you do, realizing that it changes everything. I know in the first message, I shared like my life verses, and I realized that those are three promises that God's spoken to me, that He has a path for me, that even though I encounter, and that was in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and then in Jeremiah 29, 11, that even though I may experience calamity and destruction, that's never His heart for me. And then Romans 8, 28 is that He turns all things around for good as I serve Him and honor Him. And those are my three major life verses, but I'm realizing they're also promises I've been standing on. But I think the biggest promise that we see in Scripture is the foundation for this whole series. It's in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where we see God speaking to the nation of Israel. Now, the nation of Israel is in bondage. They're in slavery. And God sends a deliverer in Moses. You probably know the stories. Maybe you've seen the movie. Maybe you've read the book. I don't know. But you probably know that God sends Moses to the nation of Israel. And he goes to the leader, to Pharaoh. And he says, Pharaoh, let my people go. But what we don't really focus on as much, and I don't know why that is, we should, is the promise and declaration that God told Moses to tell the people, the nation of Israel, who were slaves, because we always think of Moses telling Pharaoh, let my people go, and he did. But he had a declaration to the people of Israel who were in slavery, and this is it. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. It's the first promise that God brings us out of bondage and slavery to sin. I will free you from being slaves to them. So the first one, salvation. The second one, I'll free you from being slaves to them. That is all about deliverance. That is about taking, yes, He took them out of Egypt physically, but then it was a process to get Egypt out of them. That's deliverance. Then the third one, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. And that's what we're talking about today. The promise of redemption. And so let's look at what the definition of redeem means. Like, what is redemption? It's the process of God redeeming. So here it is. Number one, it means to buy back or repurchase. You know, Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sin. Okay, I just went blank. This is all spontaneous. So just, I know this is pre-recorded, but just go with me here. Where Jesus says, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. That means that Jesus knew His assignment as the creator of the universe, as part of the Trinity, like He's part of God in human form. And He says, I'm paying the price for your sin to break that curse. And He became our sin on that cross. He took our sin. This is why it says the Father had to turn His eyes, because He can't look on sin. And Jesus became that. He redeemed us on the cross to buy back, to repurchase. The second definition means to change for the better or to reform. See, that's what we talked about last week. And that deliverance where God transforms, not just that moment where our spirit is brought to life. And just as Jesus died on the cross, when we say, Lord, I put that old sinful man to death, He gives us new life. Just as Jesus was raised from the grave, we are raised in a new life. We're part of God's family. So it's to change for the better or to reform. Number three, to repair or restore. And this promise of redemption is about restoration. That God takes all of the brokenness that we've experienced, all of the sin that's impacted us from others or that we've perpetrated ourselves, and He turns it around. It's my third life verse, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. to restore. God has a restorative and redemptive process that he wants to take you on so that he can use you to bring light, to bring life, to bring hope and joy to people. That's part of the process of embracing his promises, the biggest promises that we see, not just for the nation of Israel 3,500 years ago, but promises for you and for me today. Promises that Jesus spoke and celebrated at Passover with his disciples and followers, where he says, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to free you from that mindset of slavery. Oh, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem you. Here's the cool thing, you know, to buy back or to repurchase. You know, the value of something is determined by what somebody is willing to pay. Your vehicle right now, you can go to NADA, you can go to Kelley Blue Book, and you can get a value on that. But if you know anything about the used car market right now, people are going to pay more. I bought a truck a year ago, right after the storm, hurricane damaged truck. Never bought a new truck in my life. I can't buy a 5 to 7 year old, and it was a base model. It was a hurricane damaged vehicle. I got a great deal on it, but I fixed it up lickety split for hardly anything. And I know this, that I could sell that thing right now way more than I paid for it. Check the values. They're not adding up. Here's why. Here's why. Because the value of something is determined by what someone is willing to pay. The end. I want you to understand in the redemptive promise of God what he paid for you. He valued you so much that his demonstration of love for you when you were at your worst was his only child. You may take a bullet for somebody. You may lay down your life for someone. But you're never going to lay down your kid's life for somebody. But God demonstrated his love towards us. What is this? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, at our worst, Christ died for us. This is redemption. And we can operate in the promise that God has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. Listen to me. You are worth so much to him. And I don't want to see Christians with their head hanging down. I don't want to see you with your head hanging down. When you hang your head down, you don't know how much you're worth because you don't understand. You don't have a full revelation of what God paid for you because of what he believes in you. And that part of the process of you becoming what he called you to be is you knowing how valuable you are to him, that you are a child of the king, and that you are called by him for a redemptive purpose. Like he's going to use you to bring hope and life and light to people. But if you don't believe that you are valuable in his sight, you'll walk around like this. I can't do it. Somebody else. I messed up. No. Listen to me. When you hold on to the promise of redemption, that means all of the stupid stuff was purchased, repurchased, like God made you new. He's changing you, the second definition, for the better. He's reforming you. That's the process of sanctification. That's deliverance from all of those unhealthy, ungodly mindsets where people have told you no, that you're not enough, that you can't, that you don't understand. Now, listen to me. You were smart. God created you intelligent. He created you with a purpose. He has a plan for your life. If you choose to live with like this, with like this and down, like I can't, oh, I'm not a good speaker, oh, I'm not smart enough, oh, I'm not strong enough, oh, I don't have enough, you'll never, never embrace the promise of redemption. And whether you realize it or not, you're still stuck on promise two. You only got promise one. Because part of promise too, that deliverance where he says, I'll free you from being slaves, is you know that you are no longer a slave, but you are a child of God. You are royalty. That is not arrogance. That's confidence. Knowing who you are. That the enemy has no hold on you. The only hold that he has is the one that you give him, that God's delivered you. Or you're still in the process of deliverance, but you're not what you were yesterday, and you're moving on to tomorrow because God's given you faith to get to that place. I feel like I'm fired up. I'm not angry. I'm mad at the enemy because he causes so many people to live their life like this. Cowed down. We don't have to live in that. We can live in the redemptive promise that God thought of us so much, you, that he gave the most precious thing so that he could be with you. And he wants you to be with him. It's never, God, where are you? God's with you. It's, are you with him? John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. When you feel less than, because when you read the Bible, you're letting the enemy whisper to you right there as you're seeking God. Shut him up. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Listen to me, if you read the Bible and you feel worse, that is a lie of the enemy, and I rebuke that. I'm rebuking a camera. I'm rebuking an enemy that is rooted in people's mind, telling them that they can't understand, telling them that they're not good enough to receive. That is a lie. God paid such a price for you because he loves you so much. This is how God sees you. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I'm going to change it a little bit. You are God's masterpiece. God's created you anew in Christ Jesus, if you let him, so that you can do the amazing, unbelievable, earth-shaking things he planned for you to do long ago. Before the earth ever began, he has a purpose and a plan. How does God redeem us? With his outstretched arm. That's what it says. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. That means he reaches out and he grabs us. That means he takes us. Psalms 18:35. David writes this. You've given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. Romans 8:39. If God's with me, who can be against me? God reaches out and grabs you and says, you're with me. You're with me. I was reminded recently of a painful memory where I felt totally rejected and completely left out. And it was nothing I had done. And as I'm pondering on that, like, I'm like, Lord, like, how could, like, why did that really hurt? It's a long time ago. Why did that really hurt? I don't know, Lord, where were you in that? And in my mind, I see this picture. And it's in that moment where I'm just completely dismissed and rejected. And Jesus comes up and puts his arm around me. And he says to the group that's rejecting me, he says, he's with me. And I can't tell you what healing that brought. It was a revelation of redemption, that he delivers us. He redeems us. He turns all of that junk around for good and gives us his perspective. He's with me. He came and put his arm around me because that's how he delivers us. With his outstretched arm. It's so powerful. I so want you to experience that. How else does he deliver us? With mighty acts of judgment? What does that mean? Oh God, you're going to judge me and throw the book at me. No. Mighty acts of judgment against the enemy, not you. You've been redeemed, my friend. It's against the enemy. Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Son of God has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. The judgment is not for you, where he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. He's redeeming you. He's coming in and swooping you out of where the enemy's had you and saying, you're with me. His outstretched arm and his acts of judgment against the enemy, not you. How do we get to the place of redemption? How do we get to that place? We follow in faith. We follow in faith and we function in the gifts that God's given us, our spiritual giftings. We follow in faith. Salvation's kind of the easy part. You're like, wait, I know I'm in bondage. I hate how I feel. I hate this. I don't like where I am. And we cry out to Jesus, where he says, I'll bring you out from that bondage, the yoke of the Egyptians, the bondage of sin for us. That's salvation. It's a little harder when it's like, I'll free you from being slaves to them. And there's that process. The enemy takes root in people's heart, soul, and mind. It's like we've heard the term, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, like a stronghold of the enemy. That just simply meant in biblical times, when an army would come in and they would actually build a stronghold. They would build like a tower where they could store supplies like food, clean water, arrows, bows, spears, shield, armor, and they would set that in an occupied land, and they would build this tall tower so that if the locals ever came out to attack them, they could run into the stronghold and they could have a place to survive. Here's how the enemy survives in our lives. He builds strongholds one lie at a time. That's a brick. That lie's reinforced, rebelieved, a new lie's reinserted, rebelieved, new lie, rebelieved. He builds with each lie gives him a place to reside, and God's saying, I'm coming in to redeem you with my arm and knock that thing down. But we have to believe that he is and know that he's redeeming us with his outstretched arm and with acts of judgment against the enemy, which means how do we get to the place of redemption? We do it by following Jesus in faith and allowing him to use us. There's something powerful that happens when you allow God to use you to be his mouthpiece. He doesn't just use Moses. He doesn't just use me because I'm talking and my mouth is running right now. He wants to use you and what God has, how he's wired you with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, with your giftings. Follow in faith and know that God wants to use you. Listen, I realize I got the gift of gab. That's why God's using this gifting, but maybe you have a gifting of mercy. I don't have that. But maybe you do. And God's going to use you and your gifting to bring. Here's how he brings you to the place of redemption. By bringing other people to the place of salvation. Other people to the place of deliverance. And other people to the place of redemption. How do I get to the place of redemption? Follow in faith. Follow Jesus in faith. And let him use you. Let him use you. Your deliverance is in part when you find freedom, God wants to use you to help other people looking to find freedom as well. He's wired you in a specific way. I'm going to wrap up with these three scriptures because he's made you to follow in faith, but he's made you in a way to impact people. Like we, not just me, we are called to impact people. Psalms 139, 13 and 14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. God made you, and he gifted you. He gifted you. He gifted you. The Bible talks in multiple places about giftings, like spiritual giftings, the way that he's created you and wired you to do his work. You may not have the gift of gab. You may not have a call to be a pastor, but maybe you can fix things. Like maybe you're a handyman. Or maybe you can knit something for somebody. Or maybe you have a gift of hospitality and you can make people feel welcomed and loved. Whatever it is, use it. Romans 12:6, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. In Ephesians 1:11 and 12, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Follow Jesus. He's going to show you who you are. How he created you to impact other people. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. You are part of his purpose. Your design reveals your destiny. And your destiny is Matthew 28:19. It's what Jesus says, the last thing he says, go make disciples. teaching people everything I've shown you. I'm convinced that the reason that people aren't willing to show others what God's shown them is twofold. Number one, you don't know what God's shown you, which is why you need to get into those promises, get in the presence of God, get in His Word. And the second is because you don't think you're good enough to be used by God. Let me tell you right now, you are. And God wired you. You know, you see me on this side of the camera, but you don't see the dude on the other side of the camera. Who's more important in the kingdom of God? The guy on this side of the camera or the guy on the other side of the camera? Because it takes both. And ain't one better than the other. Listen to me. God has called you in your own way to be a Billy Graham. You may never stand on a platform before a million people. You may never have a voice that reverberates through every home. But maybe you can be the person that brings love to that coworker that seems rejected or angry. There's no ranking in the kingdom of God. There's just redemption. Walk in it. And maybe you're here and you're listening and you deal with all of this in junk, this sin, inferiority, no good. Maybe you're dealing with fear. Listen to me. Give that to Him. I'm going to go back to redemption to buy back. Redemption is, I have this thing, I want to turn it in. What do you need to turn into Jesus? Maybe it's your heart, your soul, and life. Or maybe it's some lies that you've believed about who you are and who God is. Oh, I pray that you can identify those things and say, I need to turn this back in. This lie about who I am, this lie about who you are, God, because He loves you and He's so good. He's so good. In spite of how we've been, He still loves us and He's good and He wants to know you. He got a plan for you. So, Father, I just pray that Your plan comes to fruition. And somebody's here and they hear Your whisper through my voice. Lord, may You meet them. May they turn to You and may their prayer be, Lord, I give You my all. Here it is. Lord, I give this to You. Maybe it's your life for the first time. Maybe it's some deep-rooted thing you need to give to Him. Give it to Him. And Jesus, may You bring life where there's been death. May You bring hope where there's been hopelessness. May You bring joy where there's been sorrow. May You bless those that are listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Man. Okay, God spoke to me through this, so I hope it was 10 times better than even what I got, and what I got was good. And it's good because God just reminded me how good He is, how much He loves me, and He loves you. Hope to see you soon. Let us know what's going on. Get plugged in with real life relationship, starting with Jesus, continuing with His people. God bless.